After major news outlets declared Joe Biden president-elect this past Saturday, incumbent President Donald Trump has not conceded. Most Republican lawmakers have followed his lead, while Trump's administration is blocking Biden's transition team from moving forward. Trump's campaign is filing numerous lawsuits around the country and alleging, without evidence, problems with several states' elections. It's the week in Washington where we look at several top stories in national politics. We'll also look at the Biden team considering some Republicans for administration positions and the runoff Senate elections coming together, it looks like, for Georgia. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What was your first response to the outcome of the election being called on Saturday? What do you hope the transition looks like? What do you worry it might look like? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Scott Wong is senior writer for The Hill covering House of Representatives leadership. Scott, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be back with you.
Well, let's start with the Biden campaign and the president-elect himself. He's held press conferences so far on the coronavirus and the Affordable Care Act, or given statements on those. Can you talk more about what we're seeing from the Biden transition effort now?
Yeah, I mean, Joe Biden is moving full speed ahead with his transition team. You know, it's a big task for him and his team. And so they are taking advantage of every single day. We're 70 days until January 20th, when Joe Biden will be sworn in as the 46th president. So he has assembled in recent days this bipartisan coronavirus task force. That's going to be his biggest challenge as he heads into his presidency. He has launched landing teams for all of the different federal agencies. These are experts who know all of these different agencies or who have worked with them in the past and trying to understand, you know, what the state is in all of these different federal agencies, where the need is, what needs to change. And just yesterday, he fielded a bunch of congratulatory calls from world leaders from Germany, France, Ireland, the UK. And so he is acting presidential. And so, you know, although there is this dispute, the Trump campaign has disputed the results of the election, they are contesting and appealing and challenging the election legally in many of these states. Joe Biden is trying to stay above the fray and continue moving forward and acting as presidential as possible.
And yeah, on the president's side of things, the current president's side of things, as you said, legal options, which they, of course, have the right to pursue in states, a likely recount request coming here in Wisconsin, it sounds like. And on a parallel track, also a lot of claims of widespread fraud without evidence, apparently, to back it up. What are we seeing from the Trump side of things here?
Yeah, and without evidence are the operative words here. You know, while the bulk of Republicans on Capitol Hill are giving Trump space to make these claims and are backing him up for the most part, there are a number of senior statesmen in the party, like Mitt Romney, who have said it is time to move on. They are recognizing he and others like Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, as well as a number of other establishment Republican figures like William Cohen, the former defense secretary who served under President Clinton, who happened to be a Republican, also said that this is very inappropriate for President Trump not to be conceding the race and recognizing Joe Biden as the president-elect. So there is a bit of a internal strife happening within the Republican Party right now. I think most people believe that at the end of the day, Joe Biden will be seated as the next president of the United States. But because of the turmoil that we've seen over the last 4 years with President Trump, there's still, you know, there's always going to be an open question about what the president might do next. And we have seen that play out just this week at the Pentagon with the series of changes that he's made.
Right. I wanted to ask about that next. Defense Secretary Mark Esper out, along with other key deputies, the ones who by law would have succeeded him in his position. Other civilian positions changed. The general consensus is replaced with people more loyal to President Trump. One of the big fallings out between the president and the now former defense secretary, Esper, had criticized the idea of using active duty military troops to help suppress protests. What do we know about the changes in the Defense Department?
You know, this is not my area of expertise, but I will say that, you know, just from reading my colleagues and speaking to my colleagues who cover the Pentagon, they say that President Trump has largely installed a loyalist. And we've seen that throughout his 4 years where people will speak up or challenge him on controversial issues, and those people will quickly be replaced with people who fall in line with the president and the president's thinking. I think that's what is happening here. The strange thing about the timing of some of these personnel moves at the Pentagon right now is they come just days after the presidential race was called for Joe Biden. And so there's a lot of consternation, I think, and hand-wringing on Capitol Hill as to what the president is up to. Some sources say that the president may be wanting, you know, with a limited calendar left for his presidency, may be wanting to accelerate the withdrawal of troops in the Middle East and Afghanistan. That's something that he promised during his campaign. And maybe he sees some of these civilian officials like Esper and others as standing in the way of that goal.
It's The Week in Washington, talking to Scott Wong from The Hill, looking at some of the big stories, including the presidential transition. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to a caller now. Jeffrey is with us in De Pere. Jeffrey, hi.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I would like for the state of Wisconsin congressmen, women, and senators, men and women, representatives, to stand up and put the kibosh on this garbage. McCarthyism is dead. Roy Cohn is dead. Roger Stone is no longer a trickster for Richard Nixon. What is this man that calls himself the president? Why does he want to be the greatest winner of all time? This isn't a win. This is a country. Move forward, cross the aisle, shake hands. Let's get this taken care of. If he wants to go home to New York and join the mob families, that's fine.
Jeffrey, I think we get the gist. Thanks for calling. He calls himself president because he is the president now, of course. I want to give a listen to Jeffrey's talk about Wisconsin's congressional delegation. I think maybe about our state legislature as well. Here's a listen to Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson being asked about the declaration for Biden.
Senator, have you congratulated Vice President Biden yet?
No.
Why not?
Nothing to congratulate him about, he says. Johnson kind of didn't break stride to answer the questions on the way through. The state legislature here in Wisconsin calling for at least a review of the election by a key committee. Senator Johnson not alone in that response, Scott.
Yeah, that's right. And Republicans on Capitol Hill have been put in a very difficult spot. You know, under normal circumstances, they would be reaching across the aisle and congratulating the winner of this election, Joe Biden. But that hasn't happened because these are not usual times under this president. And so, you know, we have seen in the past contested elections in our lifetime, certainly in 2000 with Bush and Gore in the recount in Florida. But the difference there was that they were separated by about 500 and some odd votes. In many of these cases where the Trump campaign is contesting the election, such as Pennsylvania just crossed the 50,000 vote threshold, meaning that Biden has 50,000 more votes than President Trump does. It would be very, very almost impossible to overturn that result if you did any sort of recount. In some of the other states like yours and in Georgia, certainly the numbers are much closer, but we're not talking about a repeat of Florida in 2000 by any stretch.
About 20,500 in Wisconsin. By the unofficial tally, the canvassing to confirm those numbers is going on right now. Thanks for that call. We'll go to Jeff now in Madison. Jeff, hi.
Hi. I know it sounds a bit far-fetched, although I'm seeing it more and more, the word used online, in interviews, et cetera. But at what point legally does it become a coup if he refuses to leave the White House? Is it at swearing-in time or some other date?
Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. People are wondering, you know, if and when the president decides to, if not concede, then to acknowledge the results, what happens on January 20th if he doesn't?
Well, I don't know, because I don't think we've ever seen this circumstance before. The Constitution does not require the losing candidate to concede the race, so there is no requirement for Trump to concede in order for Biden to become president. Biden's team has made that very point. They are taking, I think, some of these challenges seriously. They have a well-funded legal team that is challenging the Trump campaign at every step of the way, where they're trying to make inroads. And so they are taking these threats seriously. But right now, you know, I don't think the serious folks in Washington are not anticipating that Trump will remain president somehow. They are anticipating that Joe Biden on January 20th will take the oath of office.
Thanks for the call at 800-642-1234. Randy joins us next in Madison. Randy, hi.
Yes, good afternoon. And happy Veterans Day. This might sound a little ridiculous, but I don't think Trump is simply acting churlishly. I think from things that I've been reading for quite some time, he feels he has twin destinies. And one of them is to win the Nobel Peace Prize. The other is to end up on Mount Rushmore. I actually believe that's something he doesn't want to let go of until reality smacks him in the face.
Randy, thanks a lot for the call. There's a lot of speculation, Scott, about what's driving the president at this point and what he's angling for post-inauguration day on January 20th. I don't know. What kind of things are you hearing from people in Washington?
Well, the rumor this week from some people close to the president was that he was plotting a run again for president in 2024, a rematch against Joe Biden in 2024. I think, you know, 4 years is a long time, but if the president was at peak form 4 years from now, he would have a good shot to win the primary. I mean, 70 million people voted for President Trump despite all of the polling that had showed that it was going to be a drubbing, that Joe Biden was just going to run away with the victory. Well, things turned out a lot closer than the polling had indicated. And so some people are viewing the president's, contesting of this election as a way to sort of set himself up for 2024 with the thinking that voters want to see a fighter. They don't want to see Trump throw in the towel here. And, you know, the more and more the president tries to paint this as a stolen election, which it's not. But if his voters and his supporters see it as a stolen election, they may be that much more motivated to support him in 2024.
We're talking to Scott Wong, senior staff writer at The Hill. It's the week in Washington. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Coming up, some speculation, maybe a likelihood that Biden would reach across the aisle in forming a new administration, maybe appoint a Republican or two to his cabinet. What do you think of that idea? Good idea, bad idea. We'll also take a quick peek at Georgia along the way. A pivotal now for control of the Senate. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Scott Wong, senior writer at The Hill, looking at some of the top stories in national politics, including the transition. Scott, you wrote about possible cabinet appointments to Republicans under a Biden administration. What kind of things are we hearing?
Well, if we look back at past administrations before President Trump, Bill Clinton had, as I mentioned before, Republican William Cohen as defense secretary. George W. Bush had Democrat Norm Mineta as his transportation secretary. President Obama had three Republicans serve in his cabinet. So, if we see Joe Biden as someone who is trying to return to tradition and normalcy if you listen to his speech on Saturday, he called for ending this grim era of demonization in America. A lot of people see him moving to a point, at least one or a handful of people in his administration who would be Republicans, reaching across the aisle. That was something that he had a reputation for. And so there's just a number of names that are being floated right now, from Cindy McCain, who endorsed Joe Biden in the presidential race against Donald Trump, to business executives like former eBay chief Meg Whitman out in California, a number of ex-governors, including John Kasich of Ohio, current governors like Larry Hogan of Maryland, where I am today, who has been praised for his handling of the coronavirus pandemic. And so we'll see what happens. But there is an expectation that Biden will, in a bid to appear more bipartisan and to try to heal the country, will reach across the aisle and name one or a handful of Republicans.
But you and others have written that some progressive voices in the Democratic Party not necessarily wild about the idea, especially if they're in prominent positions.
Right. And Transportation Secretary, although transportation and infrastructure is a critical part of our country and how our economy is powered, transportation is usually the one that goes to the other party. We've seen it in past administrations. Generally, you know, you're not going to have somebody appointed from the other party going to Treasury. Commerce is a possibility, but that still seems like a stretch. Labor's probably out of the question as well. So a number of progressives, you know, the progressives, including AOC and the Justice Democrats, these outside progressive groups, have their own slate of candidates that they're putting forward. You know, people like Bernie Sanders that they're floating for labor, Keith Ellison for attorney general, people like that. And so everyone at this moment is trying to lobby the Biden transition team with their own slate of candidates who they want to see land jobs in the administration and in particular on the cabinet.
Let's bring on another caller on the transition. Lisa is with us in Madison. Lisa, hi.
Hi. I'm calling because my mind was significantly eased a couple of days ago when I learned that on Biden's team is Ted Kaufman, who literally with Michael Levitt wrote the Presidential Transition Inaugurations Improvement Act in 2015. So, you know, Biden has the expert on his team to address transitions. So even if Trump doesn't cooperate, we're not in as bad a situation as if, you know, Biden didn't have this significant expertise level.
Lisa, thanks for that call. And I think Ted Kaufman has a strong Delaware connection as well. Scott, as you were saying earlier, President-elect Biden trying to do this transition like it's a normal transition and trying to lock in a team here.
Right. And a lot of these folks who he has named to run the transition have decades of experience. They've served in the federal government in the past. This week, we do expect him to name his chief of staff. That will be probably his first move. Ron Klain is somebody who is one of the front runners for that chief of staff job. He is probably most notable for being the Ebola czar during the Obama administration. So he has a proven record in handling a pandemic or an outbreak of an illness, which will certainly come in handy as the Biden administration tries to tackle the coronavirus, which, as we've seen in recent days and weeks, appears to be getting worse and worse. And so he is bringing in seasoned experts, and because of his decades of experience, both on Capitol Hill as a senator and committee chairman, as well as vice president, his Rolodex is probably the biggest Rolodex in Washington today. And so, he will bring in experts and seasoned veterans as they launch their administration.
I want to look ahead now to the race for the Senate. Republicans celebrating the AP calls in Alaska and North Carolina this week for Republican incumbents there. So now it all comes down to what appear to be likely runoffs in Georgia, hand recounts going on there because of a very close presidential election. What are we looking at in Georgia now, Scott?
Right. I mean, the political universe sort of shifts from Washington, D.C. down to Georgia. And what we're going to see in these coming weeks and months is, you know, all of the surrogates from the Biden campaign going down to Georgia and campaigning for the two Democratic candidates, John Ossoff, who's in a race against incumbent Republican David Perdue, and Raphael Warnock, the Reverend, who is running to unseat Kelly Loeffler, the Republican, there as well. And so if, you know, if the Democrats can succeed in flipping these seats, then they will have control of the Senate. And the reason why this is so significant is that, you know, if Mitch McConnell and the Republicans control the Senate, then they can slow down all of President Biden's confirmations, all of his nominations, I should say, to the executive branch, can really gum things up and slow down his agenda. So really, you know, everything, you know, all Biden's entire presidency, or at least the first couple years of his presidency, is sort of hanging in the balance with the Senate races. And that's why all eyes are back on Georgia.
Scott, thanks again for joining us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We've been talking to Scott Wong, senior staff writer for The Hill. We talked to him about what's been happening since the presidential election was called for former Vice President Joe Biden as the transition period gets rolling.